It is 9:08 and we call this hearing in order. First, I will be reading a statement and then going over the orders of procedure. This meeting of the Josephine County Board of Commissioners will be conducted according to the Josephine County Land Use Hearing Rules found in Article 31 of the Josephine County Rural Land Development Code and Section 197.763 of the Oregon Revised Statutes, which govern the conduct of all public hearings. A summary of the rules follows. Number one, today's hearing is an appeal hearing from a decision made by the Josephine County Planning Director. Since the decision was made without a public hearing, state law requires the hearing to be conducted as a de novo, completely new, open evidentiary hearing. The board is authorized to review all the testimony and evidence submitted to the Planning Director in making the decision. The planning staff, number two, the planning staff will identify and explain the criteria and standards applicable to this request. Number three, testimony and evidence is to be directed to the criteria and standards. If you feel other criteria or standards apply and are not identified, you must raise the issue to the chair for a ruling. If the chair rules that additional standards apply, then testimony and evidence may be directed to them. Number four, clearly raise and explain your issues in this hearing in order to be understood by the board. Number five, before conclusion of the hearing, any participant may request a continuance to submit new evidence or testimony. The board must decide to either grant the continuance or keep the record open. In either case, the period of time must be at least 7 days. During the time of the open record, anyone may submit additional written testimony or evidence. Number six, all persons testifying are considered a witness unless the person asked to be recognized as a party or the chair rules the person has party status. Party status is established in three ways. Number one, anyone who receives official mailed notice and testifies orally or in writing in this hearing. Two, anyone who testifies orally or in writing in this hearing who did not receive official mailed notice but establishes the use or enjoyment of their property is adversely affected by impacts from this proposed use or development that is different from the public at large. And number three, someone who is aggrieved by an adverse decision. The chair will wait until you finish testifying to make a ruling on your party's status. Seven, participants are obliged to know and follow the rules and procedures. The planning staff present has a copy of the rules. Eight, next state. Sorry, I'm just reading this for the first time. All right, so the first item on the agenda is going to be a staff report, followed by the staff report that we will listen to the proponents, which is the applicant's case, and then, which I believe is the appellant, and then we'll follow by the opponents, which is the original applicant, followed by a staff or agency comments. After that, there will be a time for the applicant's oral rebuttal as well as the opponent's sub-rebuttal. After that, we'll have a summation followed by discussion of the board. We'll close the record, have deliberation and a decision, and then close the hearing. So that's the order of things that will go today. Does anyone object to the jurisdiction of the board to hear this matter? Seeing none, does any member of the board wish to abstain from this matter?
No.
I do not. The Josephine County Rural Land Development Code sets time limits for testimony. At the close of the hearing, a decision shall be made in the form of findings with the presiding officer of the hearing body designated who shall prepare the findings. The criteria for the decision in this hearing shall be presented by the planning staff as part of the staff's report. And I believe, Ms. Schmelzer, or is it Nora giving the report?
I'll just say a couple introductory words, and then Nora will do the actual report.
Okay. All right, so that's where we're at this time. So we're going to start with staff report. There's no time limit on a staff report.
Wanted to alert you to a few things and some procedures.
This morning we did receive a request from Bill Poos, who has requested that the file be kept open for 7 days so they can submit some additional testimony. Just so you know, we have to go through all of the evidentiary materials before we can actually get to that point where we can grant or deny that request. Meaning simply you have to go through the testimony that people have before we can make that decision. And that is for the Land Development Code.
And who is Bill Poos?
He is the attorney.
For the Skeels.
He is the attorney for the Skeels.
Okay.
And Mr. Skeel, as you're aware, is ill but is participating by phone right now. I heard him on the phone. So normally, I think people just assume they can keep submitting evidence to us, but the way the code is written, there is a deadline where we stop accepting evidence. We give them a little bit more time on the notice that we actually mail out. So the notice is like the deadline to submit information so that we can compile a staff report and get it out to you. So anything that comes in after the fact, really, it wouldn't be able to be distributed to everybody at that time. So what we do is we abide by that hard deadline. And there was some stuff they wanted to submit after that deadline, and I believe that is why they are going to request the 7-day extension so they can get additional information into the record.
Okay, if I could ask a question. What's the purpose of the 7-day extension if it's not to admit additional evidence? Is that a question that the commissioners may have, and due to 7 day, do we need more time to look it over or what?
The code is a little confusing on that. I believe the intent is you go through the evidentiary hearing and something comes up like, oh, well, I do have information on that. Can I have more time to get that back to you? But it's not that clear. So it doesn't address what you do with information that comes in after the deadline. So really by the code, the only way that we can see that you could do that is if the board granted time for new evidence to be submitted.
Right. And just to reiterate, number 5 said, before conclusion of the hearing, any participant may request a continuance to submit new evidence or testimony. The board must decide to either grant the continuance or keep the record open. In either case, the period of time must be at least 7 days. During the time of open record, anyone may submit additional written testimony or evidence.
That is correct.
So it doesn't say they have to specify the why or the how.
That's correct, and that's what I'm saying. That section of the code, it's 31.120.J, does allow for them to request more time, and it's not specific on what that new testimony has to be. So it's unclear whether it's just late material or additional stuff that we discovered during the hearing. So we err on the side of caution and say that if they want to submit something, they can request that 7-day extension and then submit it.
Is that a period in which commissioners, for instance, myself, that I could ask for more clarification on some of the maps and additional information? Can I do that during that 7-day period?
I believe so, yes. Okay, with that, Nora is the staff person who worked on most of this, so we'll have her come up and do the staff report. I know there's a question about some of the maps. And whether they showed enough data, but Nora will walk you through that, and she's got a little laser pointer today, which will help us on when we get to those maps.
Nora Schwartz, Josephine County Planning.
I think that'd be super.
Okay.
I just thought it was the first slide. I didn't realize it was going to be. So I think it's time for us to get a new projector.
Okay.
Just for those on the phone, we have a presentation that's being given by overhead projector, of which the screen that the commissioners can see is completely blurry and can't be deciphered. So a hard copy has been presented to the board. Go ahead.
Thank you. The appeal before us today contains 7 items. They are: 1, lot legality and legal access; 2, a challenge about the use of the rectangular template test for the purposes of approving this application; 3, lawful status of the parcels and the dwellings; 4, applicant's use of the road; 5, definitions for lots, parcels, road, and driveway. Number 6 is a reference to the Public Works Design and Construction Standards, and Specifications. And number 7, the date the full application was submitted. Forest dwelling applications may be approved by any one of several different methods, each with its own set of criteria. In this case, the rectangular template test was used, and one criterion was that the applicant had to demonstrate existence of an abutting road prior to 1993. Without such access, the application could not be approved, even if other criteria were met. As we look at the list of the statement of appeal, numbers 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6 are largely centered around whether access was adequately demonstrated for the purpose of approving this application. The application included a submittal by a professional land surveyor. It included several recorded documents showing prior ownership of surrounding properties and references to a series of existing easements beginning at Highway 199 and terminating at the subject property. In particular, that material included a warranty deed, volume 291, page 359, recorded in 1973, which reserves an easement over the existing roadway to grantor's remaining property lying to the south. This remaining property was determined by the surveyor to be tax lot 800, which is the subject parcel. The surveyor's submittal, as well as all material presented for this application, was reviewed by several planning staff members. Staff concluded that the question of access had been satisfied, that assessor records support tax lot 800 as being the quote-unquote remaining property referenced in the warranty deed, and that access met the definition of quote-unquote road as defined by the county's Rural Land Development Code, hereafter referred to as the code. The code definition of road is shown on the next slide. I've also included other related definitions for reference. I'll leave that up for just a moment. Regarding appeal item number 3, staff independently verified what was required for this application. Assessor records show that all or part of 11 parcels within the rectangular template existed prior to January 1st, 1993, and that of those 11 lots, 3 currently existing dwellings also existed prior to January 1st, 1993. Those dwellings are shown in assessor records as having real market values of $70,000, tax lot 600, $25,000, tax lot 304, and $2,500 for tax lot 702. If you'll excuse me.
You want a water here?
Thank you. last appeal item, number 7, it states that the full application was submitted late. The pre-application letter, which is our first formal communication to the applicant, was dated October 7, 2015, and states at the end of that letter that it is valid for 1 year. The mailing envelope and each page of the full application, which are contained in the land use file, were date stamped by the planning office showing receipt on October 7, 2016.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yes.
So it's not a matter of the pre-application submitted date, it's a matter of the pre-application review letter date?
Yes, that's when we formally tell the applicant what the next steps are and in what period of time they are able to submit their full application. That concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions now or further along in the hearing as the board wishes.
I didn't know if you were waiting to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
If you have no other questions, I'll be seated.
So you're not identifying each item individually. You're going to wait for the appellants and the.
What do you mean by each item individually?
The.
Do you mean each line item in the statement of appeal?
Correct.
This. Staff report that I just presented was my attempt to do that, but I'd be happy to go over any line item in more detail now or as the hearing progresses.
Okay, I will try to look at this a little differently then, because
okay.
One of the slides was kind of skipped over to get to the definition. And
on the date in my packet, it said that it was from the 7th to the 7th. And didn't you just say the 8th is when you sent it out? Gave notice that they had 1 year, and then you said it was the 7th, like a day before? Because it was the 7th to the 7th in my packet. Now, I don't know how, that seems to me to be within a year.
Yes, yes. Yes, it is
from
the date that appears on the first page of the pre-application letter that we write to the applicant, through and including exactly 1 year later, which would be that October.
I got the 7th to the 7th.
Yes,
the
yes. Uh-huh.
So that does fall within the year time span.
To the day.
So the other question I'm going to have about the staff's report in the book is going to be the maps that are presented. And in that, first on page 3 of the appeal, proximity of applicant and appellant properties, it shows Wild Park Lane, it shows Redwood Highway. The next page, page 4, surrounding zones, has the essentially the outline and color of what the types of properties are. And this one, you can't really tell where any roads are, but the page 5, access road, owner, applicant, property. This is the first page we have that actually shows Terrell Way in it at all. And I'm wondering if you have anything that shows, in comparison to the lots, where Terrell Way is in a map format.
If you'll excuse me from the podium for a moment.
I
your photo, and it was not very clear, because it's so...
I need you on a microphone in order to get you on the record. If we need to get a temporary one or a portable one, we can do that.
I do have one here in my hand, if you'd like me to approach with it. I see you don't have an overhead projector.
I would object to that.
Thank you. This is the access point. Highway 199 is way over here, and you can see that, and Wild Park connects here, here.
Terrible way, then.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This goes to the appellates, the Tyrrells, and then there is another fork that drops down, and you can see here, that is the access point.
And this whole...
And this is the subject property.
This is the subject property. So all along up here is the subject property.
Mm-hmm.
In its entirety.
Yes, and that is the actual shape of it. Shall I leave it?
Yes.
Yes, and then I have a question also that maybe you can clarify for me. When, I'm assuming that way back when sometime this whole plat, the whole thing was mapped out, and usually when those plats are submitted, there is a, in order to maintain or to solidify access to all the tax lots in the plat, there's a kind of a map as to where all these roads are going to go and how they're going to be there. And then, although they're not really, they may not even be roads yet. I'm going back to one that I when we had our storm event, there was a culvert out in the county that it was part of a plat, and they said you've got to come and replace this culvert. However, when we, you know, when you get Public Works involved, they said, yeah, that is plat, and it is an easement because it shows access to all the different. Otherwise, they can't be hit tax lots. There's no ingress and egress. And I think the statement says that access, ingress and egress was guaranteed to all lots in the plat, that all lots would have ingress and egress. Where is there somewhere that shows on that original plat how they were going to get from Terrell Way to that? And I know that they bladed a road in there to do the timber sale. But did they follow the easement? Did they follow the easement when they bladed that road? I'm assuming they had to talk to somebody and say, how do we get to this, to tax lot 800? And they said, this is where you come off and this is the route you take to get to that. Where did that come from? Because right now, the road that goes in there is considered to be a road because it's been a road, but it is not up to county standards, so therefore it's not brought into our maintained road system. We have no obligation to maintain it. And I believe that the Terrells have said in one of their documents that they would maintain access, but does that include just to their place, or does it include, it certainly doesn't include this road, does it? Because that's part of the show, the logging. But where is there some documentation way back when? Because when we were talking about the culvert access, you know, these people said, you could get out here and change that culvert out. Well, the county can't go change that culvert unless it's designated somewhere, and then it is brought into the county road system, which it never was. It's platted that way with an easement that way, which means that, you know, at some point in time, it would probably be that way, but it isn't right now. But I just wondered, because is how far this road goes back.
Can I ask a clarifying on that?
You sure can.
Because I don't want to get confused on whether it's in a county-maintained road or
not,
under definition of road.
Yep. We agree that it's not county-maintained. None of these are county-maintained.
Okay, so that part, I want to make sure, is out. To add to his question, one of the things that you stated in your initial statement, Ms. Schwartz, was that there was... prior to 1993, easements established, and including a volume deed reserving future easement to tax lot 800.
That's right.
Is that, now coupling that with Commissioner Dion's question, And was that easement defined as where it would go, or is it just reserving the right to have one in the future?
It was described through a series of tax lot cards, which shows the history of the properties in the area, as over an existing roadway, typically many, many years ago, and I think it's still true today, these easements are not always described, say, in terms of a meets and bounds description or in terms of a center line, which is described as, and then they go on to describe it. I found that many times, and in this case, it was merely referred to as an existing roadway, which would have been back many, many years ago when it was there. Was it maintained over a period of time? Could it have wandered? These things are possible. I would like to interject something also as we use the term road. The definition of road that we are using for this application is not what we typically think of as a road. Two different ways to talk about it. One, we are basing this on the code definition of road, which is a way, also referred to as an easement. That is very, very different from a public road. Maintained public roads, of course, are the jurisdiction of Josephine County Public Works. They also take a small amount of jurisdiction when the situation warrants over other public roadways. Unfortunately, we have to be very, very careful about what we think of as road. This is based on an easement, which is sometimes even more convolutedly referred to as an easement road. But in no way are we talking about public access. The easement, as everyone is familiar with, is a right of passage that is granted by one or more parties to one or more parties for a specific purpose. In this case, the pathway from 199 down to the subject property is by way of a series of easements. The fact that Wild Park Lane has been recognized as a public right-of-way has to go through a series of legal steps in order to gain that definition. But I think where we really need to focus our attention is from Wild Park Lane all the way down to the subject property. Those are a series of easements, and this is what the approval or denial of this application rests on.
When they did the timber sale in there, I'm assuming they didn't just say, "Hey, we're gonna." They had to have followed something to get out to this sale.
Yes,
was
and I would
there,
hope that
was there
yes.
a and I think you might have already said it that there was like a glimmer of a road out through the trees, and that's how they gained access. It's curious to me how they picked that route to get to Tax Lot 800, which was part of the timber sale, and they logged that. They logged that off, so that means, and you can't tell me you're going to haul that many logs off of there in log trucks and not have a road there when you get all done. It's going to be there for a while because they, you know, it would have. But going back to that, it's curious, is the route they followed, is that listed as an easement? If I go over to the title company, it lists all easements and their location, I'm assuming by survey. You know, I can go out there and if I can read all the paragraphs and paragraphs of the fourth quadrant of the square root of the hypotenuse, I should be able to track that road. Is that road within the easement of the original plat? If I go over to the title company and say, I need to have, how's my ingress and egress to Tax Lot 800? Is that what they're going to give me?
If it exists. There are many times when the only evidence of an easement is this vague, nebulous reference.
Just a blanket
to
statement
over
that Tax Lot 800
roadway.
Has access to it, but it doesn't define the access.
That's correct.
Is that
correct.
And did you not say there is a volume deed that does document the easement to this tax lot.
It's a warranty. In fact, I have a copy of it pulled out if you would like to see that. But yes, it is a warranty deed that describes this existing roadway. And it further goes on to say that the sole purpose of this reference is to call out that the grantors are giving to the grantees, which is tax lot 800, use of that existing roadway.
I do want to see it.
That's possible. That'd be great. And that may be what I'm asking for, because that document doesn't pop up in a title search, correct?
It should. Okay. It should. This is the area in here where we've identified tax lot.
And I had that highlighted in my book.
Counselor, do we need to be, as these extra maps been provided or this deed, do we need to be labeling these as an exhibit?
This is already in our book.
That's my impression, yes.
This one is.
The map is too.
It's not the staff.
It's the same map that is in our book?
Well, the map that we have is on page 5. It says staff report, page 5 is the map. It's a zoomed in version. And then the deed is in there too.
Well, this is not the exact same map, or at least the zoom of page 5. So I can call it addendum A to map page 5, as far as a zoomed in version. So this Google Earth map that does similar, I'm going to call it addendum A to page 5 map.
Of the staff report.
Of staff report. So you're saying this deed is already in here? Which page is that delineated on? Let's see, I got it right here. It's under, it's Exhibit J, page 8. So that's already identified there. Okay, so yours is not as blurry as mine. Nab it. Sorry.
Yes, I think by the time it gets reproduced and reproduced, it is not of the quality that we would have hoped.
Do you have any other questions, Commissioner?
Yeah, I'm going back to page 1 in the
say the letter, please, as well.
It's the appendix J.
Yeah, right there.
Appendix J, page 1, and item number 2 says, based on deed research, he concluded that Tearaway was a road for purposes of Article 65.070C4, because all lots have right of access via easements over the as-traveled roads that are Tearaway and Wild Park Lane. And that, I think, is, that goes, I guess in May, that's a pretty fair statement, but I think what the appellant is saying is that road wasn't always there. That access was not always there as it now stands today. Now, how you want to change that, because it has to have access to that property. As evidenced by the county GIS map, the Tearaway abuts the subject site. Tearaway, according to that, is up here, and the subject site is down here. And then there's an easement off of Tearaway to this. More specifically, the applicant has indicated on the template map the southerly leg of Tearaway proceeds from tax lot 305 and abuts the subject site. As required by Article 65.7C4, the applicant has generally aligned the rectangular template with the winding segments of Tearaway and at least 3 of the 7 dwellings out of St. Louis, Trip Road, and all that other stuff. But I don't see the word abut, you know, I don't have in the definition, I don't have what that actually means. That it is right up against it?
Touches. Okay. Would have to go to and touch the property line. If I might add something.
I'm open.
We are talking about, throughout this hearing, a pathway called Tearaway. It is the position of the planning office that Terrell Way, although it has been given a name, is not a road in terms of public right-of-way, nor is it a private road, and that it does stretch, whatever we want to call it, it does stretch through Wild Park and continues out to the Terrells' property, but it also has a southerly branch, it is our position, that touches the subject parcel. Now, whether we call it Terrell Way, whether we say it is an easement or a series of easements, we are talking about a pathway with a branch, perhaps more than one, it's very hard to determine, pathway on the ground, and that's what this all hinges on.
So I would say going from the Rural Land Development Code Article 11, road or street, a public or private way that is created to provide ingress egress for persons to one or more of the lot, parcels, areas, tracts of land.
Yes.
So that's what this falls under, because it's not a public road.
Correct.
And
it's not a private
it's
road.
It's not a private road, but it is one and two. It's a road or street, and it's also an easement. Grant of right to use the property of another for a specific purpose may be either a pen, whatever. I can't pronounce
it. A pertinent?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or a gross. But I'm assuming that somewhere along the line, these people have access to a tax lot 800.
That is our position. Mm-hmm.
Is the difference, and I'm asking, I don't know whether this can even be found. But is somewhere, is there, I know there's just the statement that they have an easement, but is that easement defined on a map somewhere?
I have not seen any evidence
okay.
of that.
So way, going way back to the original plat is that his easement, are all these tax lots accessible, and the applicant for the original plat said yeah. You know, so that the plat can be brought in, you know, recorded in a way you go, but there was no definition at that time. I can kind of see where that would happen because there wouldn't be any definition at the time, but I don't know if that's the legal description.
Well, and I'm going to come back to these paragraphs here on which was section J8. The southeast quarter of the northwest quarter of section 23, township 38 south, range 8 west of the Willamette Meridian, Josephine County, less than except the west 180 feet thereof. I mean, it gives a point. I don't know that we've outlined that on the map.
For a parcel.
180 feet. How long is the portion? With the easement access over a long existing roadway located, said section 23, all that other stuff, and reserving other grantors their errors and assigns an easement over the existing roadway as access to the grantor's remaining property lying to the south of the above described PE. It's kind of one of those things that it's defining where it's going out there.
Unfortunately, I can't go back to 1982 and go out there and say, is there a path all through that trees? You know, because I'm assuming when they said, we're going to log tax lot 800.
This is 1973, this was recorded deed.
Right, but I don't know in 1973 if they said, okay, yeah, there is a thing, and they didn't mark it on a map. I guess they've got a point there, but it's not defined on there, to my...
Well, do you have a township range in...
No, I don't have
map?
That.
Because it gives a specific location of a GPS
right.
coordinate, and then it says 180 feet, keep going, and it grants future access to the south as well. I mean, if it gives a specific point, it says, and further access from there, to me, that's as specific as you can get, because you find that point, then you go from there.
Then I guess I need a surveyor to tell me what that said.
Okay.
And it might take more than that, if I might. Through a series of possibly vintage aerial photographs, which our surveyor's office has going back many, many, many decades, research could be done to try to identify through these aerial photographs what might have been that original pathway. And as I say, did it wander? Could something else have been cut in at some point? Sure, it's possible. The primary focus of this application, in my mind, was to demonstrate that there was a recorded easement, in fact, a series of easements that led us from point A, 199, to the subject property, that there was intent for that access to be granted. It's hard to say over 40, 50 years how a pathway might have migrated, especially when we see that all we're talking about is over, quote unquote, an existing roadway. It's very difficult to hang your hat on that is the exact location. Looking through these vintage aerial photographs, sparseness of trees, etc., we would have to make an inference there. It could be done. I did not do that. I relied on recorded documents to show intent.
Well, we shouldn't make assumptions, but I'm going to assume they followed something to get from where they came off the end of Tearaway and continued on. Because I think if it were me, I'd want the shortest distance between. So I'd have just come off Tearaway and come straight down to the tax lot 800.
And something that was probably cleared at one point in his life.
But,
yes.
You know, there had to be something there that, okay, I'm going to follow this off through the street, because at one point in time, it looked like there might have been a road that went back through here. And it's, you know, if I'm driving that cab rather than take off through trees,
sure,
and I can move all those, I'm going to follow something that maybe existed. So, okay, all right, I think I've got it. Let's see, I have a couple other questions here, hold on. I don't know if this is the time that I can ask this. When you had the mail out, were there any objections that came in? When you had the original mail out?
None.
Okay, all right.
Which is the first of two public notice periods. The first one is announcing that there is intent to get approval for a forest dwelling. That has a response window of 15 days. Then the decision is rendered. And then after the decision is rendered, we do a second public notice saying, we have made our decision, you have 12 days to respond. And that is when the Terrells submitted their first appeal.
When you were giving the values of ingress egress a while back, you had the different tax lots. You said you had the value class placed on tax lot 305, it was $25,000 ingress, the easement value of that ingress.
For
egress.
The dwelling. Mm-hmm.
But I did hear you say, did they place a value on tax lot 800 for ingress egress and easement? Is there something that follows along with tax lot 800? Because I know you mentioned there was, like you mentioned, 4 or 5 that had a value of $20,000, $25,000. But is there one specifically for 800?
I did not provide that information. The three tax lots and the values of their respective dwellings were shared with you in order to further explain the criterion of how the subject property qualified for a forest dwelling under the rectangular template test.
Because of the fact that there is an easement to tax lot 800, but we haven't placed the value on that in recorded.
I haven't researched it. It wouldn't surprise me if there was something readily available in the assessor's records. But I did not pull that for the purposes of this hearing.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to go to Exhibit K section. And this addendum I added to page 5 in the staff report is actually one of the maps included on Exhibit K-6. It's just harder to read. Coloring is different. But if you look at pages K-6, 7 through 10, it's a series of historic pictures of the property, of which simply from 2013 does not show this second leg of Terrell Way, this south branch.
Which could be for a variety of reasons. It could be possibly that the way this aerial photograph was shot, whatever angle it was done at, that trees largely obscured it. But again, it is our position that that pathway is there in some fashion. That's
without any historic knowledge of when it got there.
Well, no, because every reference is to it saying an existing roadway. Again, using that term loosely.
What address is assigned tax lot 800?
It has a Redwood Highway address ascribed to it. It does not have a actual street number. It is just Redwood Highway at this point. So we have to rely on township range section and tax lot number to find it on the ground. And that's not uncommon. There are thousands of parcels in that exact same situation.
So you're saying like it could have a Redwood Highway address that would be back up in the hills.
Oh, yes.
A shared driveway for.
It absolutely could.
Are there any addresses on Terrell Way? I mean, is Terrell Way an actual?
No, Wild Park.
They're all Wild Park.
In fact, the appellant's property has 240, I believe it is, Wild Park Lane.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Who assigned tax lot 800 the Redwood Highway designation versus Wild Park Lane?
I don't know. In the course of the time I've been with planning and from previous planners, no one seems to know how these tax lots that don't have an actual street number are given Redwood Highway, Wild Park Lane, Quartz Creek Road, etc. What we do is basically just take whatever is in the assessor records. If and when the time comes that the planning office, which is responsible for assigning addresses, finds that the address should be something entirely different, primarily to ensure that emergency services can find these people, then we completely change it. It could be 0 Redwood Highway today. If and when the time comes to give this parcel an address, it could be 673 Wild Park Lane. Whatever is going to find those people when there is a crisis is basically the thought process we go to.
And I don't know exactly what the process is, but I can't see assigning a timber sale an address on a, because it's not going to have a mailbox, it doesn't have a transformer or anything. After a residence is approved for this, if a residence does get approved for this, then I think he would assign an address to it because then it'll have a mailbox at some point in time.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's kind of a. I was just asking if that happened. But, okay. And I think I've got a couple of other questions, but I think it'll be for later on after we hear from the appellant.
Okay.
Do you have any other questions?
I do, but they can wait. It's more back to this township. I'm looking at the surveyor's report of Section 23, Township 38, Range 8. What's provided, it's not legible. So, I mean, I can see where it's saying that where the easement exists, where it goes to, but there's no reference corresponding to on any of the maps or the drawings that are included as far as the layouts in the same correspondence. So I will be looking at further. Okay, so seeing you have no further questions, we're going to move into the proponent's time, which is the applicant, which is the appellant. The applicants will have an opportunity to have 10 minutes, and then after they present their case, there will be opportunity for expert witnesses at 5 minutes. And then anybody else that is in favor of the appellant can have 5 minutes, and then there'll be questions to staff for 5 minutes. So we'll start with the appellants. I do not know any of the parties, and so if, when you come up, please identify yourselves.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. For the record, my name is Clark Stevens with Richard Stevens and Associates, and we're located at 100 East Main Street in Medford, Oregon. We're here today representing the appellants, Bruce and Denise Terrell, who are parties to this application for a forest template dwelling. I'd like to, prior to my presentation, kind of go back to the commissioner's request about whether or not questions can be asked or, you know, for a part of the 7-day continuance. That needs to be on the record. And so I'm feeling that we're going to want verbal questions, this and that, so we'll want to continue this public hearing to a date and time specific so we can have this communication. Apparently, staff has some more information to provide. It needs to be on the record, and if there's questions asked, it needs to be on the record. So we would respectfully request a continuance also. Commissioner's request to have questions asked, then it needs to be to a formal public hearing at that point in time. Otherwise, it's just on the written record, and then information is provided to you for your review and your own determination at the next public hearing for deliberation. As staff has mentioned, the main argument and evidence in this application is the Terrell Way and whether or not this is a road, either public or private, or a driveway. You know, the classification of this is critical and it's very important to this application. Again, when did it exist and was it suitable for a rectangle template versus a square template, which is typically used. I'd like to start with the applicant's application in Exhibit A. If you go to A5, I believe the whole terms of this is what's important. There in item number 3, they're referencing the surveyor, which staff is also in that particular document, that there's detailed deed research. And again, an easement is what they're identifying here for access to the subject property. Yes, there is a recorded easement. However, that's an easement, in our opinion, is not consistent with state law as far as what is a road by definition. Staff mentioned that it's a stretch to use a way for defining roads, easements, and all of that, but if you look at to the criteria, is that it just says a road. It doesn't refer to a way or easements. It's just if the standard is if it abuts a road or perennial stream, then you may, which is subjective, you can or you cannot use a rectangle template at that point in time. So the definition of Terrell Way or the classification and the definitions in the ordinance and in state law is very critical to this application. So I believe the applicant has very clearly stated that this is strictly an access easement to serve this property. They mention it in number three. And then if you look on item number four on page 85, they're saying that it's evidenced by county GIS mapping for Terrell Way that abuts the subject property. Staff has not been able to provide any GIS mapping for Terrell Way. The only place you're going to find it is on Google Maps. All of these maps here that you're looking at is Google. That's not accepted or in the county system for being valid. Again, you know, using the term way at this point in time, I don't think is applicable or meets the standard for approval. And then if you turn to page 86, I think this is how the applicant was justifying using the term local access road to define how to make this application qualified. And the definition of a local access road is a public road. That is not a county road, state highway, or federal road. What that is that it's typically dedicated to the public. However, it has not been accepted for maintenance purposes, but it is still a public road. Again, if this is a local access road and it was a public road, then why in the world do you need an easement to cross it? You don't need an easement to cross a public road, strictly over private property. Again, further in the next paragraph, it says Terrell Way fits the definition of a local access road, and we are in disagreement with that. If you go to page 814, again in the second paragraph, you know, they're just saying because all lots have access via easements over the as-traveled roads that are Terrell Way and Wild Park Lane. We're not disagreeing that there's numerous.
Can I stop you there real
sure.
quick? Which paragraph are you referring to?
Second paragraph, probably the second half.
Okay. Go ahead.
It says Article 65.070 sub C sub 4, because all lots had a right of access via easements over the as traveled roads that are Terrell Way and Wild Park Lane. And then the surveyor prepared the report. And the results so concluded that all lots had easements reserved for them. Sure, they had easements, but that's not a definition of a road as defined in your ordinance and state law. So it's not a way is not also a road. A road can only be a public road or a private road as approved by Josephine County. Typically, if you do a public road, it's either dedicated or it was deeded to the county, and the county will only accept it if it's brought up to a county standard that's met in the county roads definitions for standards for development. Private road, which I believe Josephine County no longer approves, has to be approved by the Board of Commissioners at that time and is specific for who is has access and maintenance agreements associated with it. Terrell Way is not on any of those documents based on the Josephine County's Public Works mapping, and I'll say even GIS mapping.
But it is on the documents reported.
No, yeah, no, I mean, if you allow more extension, I don't mind questions as I go through. So.
No, let's have you finish your time, please.
Yeah, okay. And then if you turn to page 828, I think this is part of that document from the surveyor, you know, that cites the deed that preserves that access easement over the existing road. And again, it's strictly an access easement, not a public road or a private road. And then if you turn to the staff report, page B2, there within the, let's say, section 4.2 sub B, they partially list the standard for the template. And then if you refer back to page A2, or maybe staff can actually outline the rectangle template standard. K2 basically says, it states, if a tract abuts a road that existed on January 1, 1993, or a perennial stream, the measurement may be made by creating a 160-acre rectangle that is 1 mile long and 1/4 mile wide, etc. Again, if the tract abuts a road, it doesn't say a way or any of that matter.
You have about a minute since we interrupted you.
Okay. And then in exhibits D1 and D2, again, they're just referring to the legal access. Those are all easements. Exhibit J, again, they're just saying the same thing, easements. It's not reflected in the GIS mapping or the any other mapping provided by Public Works. Exhibit K is the appellant's information and evidence to demonstrate that this is not defined as a public road or a private road. And again, with that, we would like to continue this public hearing per ORS 197.763 for at least 7 days for written information. And if commissioners wish to ask questions, then that needs to go back to a formal public hearing, just as we are doing today. Since my time is up, I do have additional information to submit, but we can do that either today or during the open record period, too, prior to the close of that or the next hearing. So I didn't have time to get to my PowerPoint, but I think with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
I'm wondering specifically, looking at these, it's not necessarily allowing questions of the applicants from us. It's their case, their witnesses, others in favor, and then questions of staff, and that's directed through the chairperson. So is that at which point we ask the questions, or after all testimony, or can we ask questions at this time?
You can ask questions of him at this time.
Okay. You have questions, sir?
Okay, there is an easement documented in the title report.
Correct.
That tax lot 800 has access to it somewhere, somehow, some along the top of it, anywhere off of, and it says you're coming off the Redwood Highway 199 and you're going to go to this place and Wild Park and so on and so forth. Where are they supposed to get that? I mean, if it's not designated anywhere, and back when that was scheduled for a timber sale, and they bladed the road in, it says that it's on an existing road, gravel road, which is what happened when they bladed in to do the timber sale. Was there any, when it was a timber sale, was there any objection to the route the road took from Tearaway, or whatever it's called, Tearaway, down to that. Was there any objection to it at that time? But now that it's a residence, there's an objection? That's what I'm hard getting. I'm hard for me to get my arms around that.
Okay.
And you know, where, if not there, where?
Right.
Where does it show somewhere on a title report? Where does it show somewhere on a documentation, on a plat? Where is the place? If it's different from where it is right now, and right now is not acceptable, where is it supposed to go, and where is the documentation that says designates where it is going to go?
Right. I can't tell you at this point of, you know, that exact location or any of that. As staff mentioned, you know, that's going to be tracing out any legal descriptions, if there are any. It does say over and across an existing road. You know, was it a wagon trail? I mean, you know, what was it at that point in time? Again,
it might have been something that the guy went in there to plant the trees. It's on the
well, absolutely, and we're not necessarily questioning legal access. It's about the definition of that access, whether it's an easement, they have the right to it. The appellant's attorney is questioning that at this point. You know, again, that's something we'll want to discuss. But let's say the board recognizes that, yes, there is a legitimate easement to serve this property. It's the classification of Terrell Way from Wild Park Lane that's in question.
So
we're not necessarily saying they're denied access. What we're saying, the access is strictly a driveway, not a road by definition. That is very important to define separately. If you had a template test for everything that had a driveway, you would have rectangles, be able to use the rectangle all over Josephine County or Southern Oregon. But that's not consistent with what's in the ordinance and also in state law. It says a road. Then you look into the definitions within your ordinance of what a road is. It doesn't get into a way, it's just strictly that we're not necessarily going to, we're not saying that it doesn't have access.
So I'm going to go back to the definitions.
Yes.
A way is a passage, street, or road. It is an incorporeal hereditament of a real nature, a mere easement, which we're acknowledging that they have easements along there. Entirely different from public or private roads. So you're not objecting to it being called a way?
Well, I would say yes, I am. It's not in your ordinance. If you look at...
you're saying that Terrell Way is not a way because it doesn't have easements.
Well, I'm saying for the purposes of using the rectangle, I'm going to say...
I'm not asking about a template. I'm asking about definition of
is
a way.
Is Terrell Way...
A way, according to this definition, a mere easement.
I mean, from what I'm hearing, I haven't looked at the definition of a way, so from what my understanding is, if it's just a mere easement as part of that definition, sure, but I'd like time to reply to that.
So then going into the definition of road or street from our rural Land Use Development Code, Article 11, is a public or private way that is created to provide ingress and egress for persons to one or more lots, parcels, areas, and tracts of lands.
Correct.
How many lots do the Terrells own?
They own two taxes.
That are accessed off of this way?
Off of, yes.
And additional people with additional lots, parcels, or areas exist off of this easement?
There are a couple others, yes.
So,
or Terrell, you're referring to Terrell Way, correct?
So it's not a road or a street, correct? A road or street is a public or private way, which can be a mere easement, is created to provide ingress egress for persons to one or more lots, which Terrell Way provides access to one or more lots via easements way. I'm just getting you're not arguing there's an easement for parcel 800. You're arguing how that road is defined.
Correct. Classified and defined.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
think I read in here, and I think I know how this ended up. I think I've got a pretty good idea how Tara Way came into existence. Y'all named it Tara Way, didn't you? I've got an El Camino Way out there leading into the industrial park, and it is no more El Camino Way than the Man in the Moon, but I own an El Camino, so therefore. So that's what I mean. I'm struggling here because I think I know where this way thing came from, and it was from y'all, wasn't it?
Oh, actually, no.
Wait. You can't.
That's a rhetorical question. So when all of a sudden now we want to have access off of Tara Way, you're stating that Tara Way does not exist except in the mind of the people that own the property, and you're calling it driveway. I don't see a definition of driveway in here.
No, but there is definition of easements, of which each of those parcels have easements, including this one.
And Way is a passage street or road that is in Corey, yeah, whatever that says up there.
But a mere easement,
entirely different from public and private roads. So I think when you named it Way, that easement applies, I think.
I don't think it matters what they named it.
Yeah,
it could not have a sign on it, and it still meet the definition of a way because of the easements on it and the road because of the multiple access to parcels, areas, and tracks. But we're not deliberating right now. I'm just trying to clarify what you're actually arguing.
Right.
Because you're not denying there's an easement that they can have access.
And I'm also looking for remedy here. I would rather us hear this than Luba up north, and they go, what are you? We should be able to make that decision at the local level and not go there. So that's where I'm looking for remedy here also.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it, today is probably not the time to ask for that.
Do you have any other questions of our attorney?
I'm a land use consultant.
Land use consultant,
yeah,
my apologies.
Attorney. Yeah. No, not
you didn't
time.
Define who you were.
No,
my
right.
Assumption. You
yeah.
said something associates. My assumption.
I recognize his name from the Stevens and Associates.
I didn't know what it stood for. Okay, so any other questions of him? Okay, so then my question, do you have the applicants or expert witnesses that would like to speak? Okay, sir, you would please identify your name, where you live, and you have 5 minutes to speak.
Raymond Bruce Carroll, owner of X Lot 300. I maintain this Carroll Way, whatever you want, for 43 years now on my home. So it's hard to think of it as a public road or any type of thing other than my private driveway, and that I do have an easement that goes to tax lot 800. There is no road other than some pathway back to tax lot 800. Dan asked if I had any objection to the logging area. And I just assumed that with a easement that they had that ability to do what they did. What I found out about the house being put on there, I knew previously or that this tax lot did not have a designation of a single dwelling house, and that we couldn't. There were several local real estate agents that tried to sell the place under a just forest tax lot with no access to have a single dwelling home on it. So when I saw this, that it was approved, that's when I got investigating into how and why. And I must say, Nora was very helpful in explaining things. And I says, well, no way. From the things that I understand, the ordinances and et cetera. So I just wanted to let you know that that's where I'm coming from. And if you have any questions about you did have that question getting the access back there, or any other questions, I'm sure you'll mind, because I'm the one that has lived there for so long and know pretty much what is there. this versus that. I do not know the definitions of way versus the public road. I read public road.
Well, I know in your...
Are you done?
Ask
questions. Okay. Do you have any questions, sir?
No, yes, I do have a question. In the packet, it shows where you agreed to maintain the road.
Yes.
Maintain the road. And I'm assuming you maintained that road because it was access to all the lot. And it goes
well,
to your
house. Yeah, much of my house.
But it's your driveway. It's your
driveway.
Until you the legality, and I'm assuming that somebody just went out there, saw far away, and figured that it was a county road.
We had a Terrell Place or something, and through Google and different things is what happened to become Terrell Way. I mean, we didn't name it that. We named it the Terrell Place. And so it just got, just like talking down from one person to another, it just changes things.
Could you repeat what you said? You did not name it Terrell Way?
No, we have a sign saying Terrell Place. And so when Google may have gone down Wild Park Lane and saw that sign, that's, I think, where the Google got.
So how did it become Terrell Way? Or when did it become Terrell Way?
I'm not privy to what Google, I don't know.
Okay. Any other questions?
I'm looking for a remedy.
I appreciate you guys at least really looking at this and trying to get a remedy.
I guess that's based on what you just said. Is your objection that a house is going back there?
Yes. Yes, that it doesn't meet the standard of what they say, template, it doesn't meet that standard.
So the objection wasn't when it got logged. The easement exists to the property. You have no problem with him accessing the property.
Uh-huh.
You have a problem with him putting that house on the property.
Because it doesn't meet the standard, yes.
Okay, so the other question I have is the other parcels that access the driveway.
No other.
You own more than one parcel, do you not?
Yes, I do.
So that counts as more than one parcel?
Okay. Yes.
There's other residences that also access it according to the application. There's three or four other driveways.
I know. That is the misconception that they put in. There is no other residence. There is no other places.
Nobody else has an easement on that road other than Lot 800.
I have to go in from Wild Park Lane onto another piece of property that the easement is on. And then from there...
So you have an easement across somebody else's property?
The front, yeah. I do not touch Wild Park Lane. So that's what they were talking about.
I'm trying to clarify how we have multiple easements backed up.
It may sound like that, yes. But there's only one person that I know. There might be some corners up on Wild Park Lane that add this 702 and others, but there's only one property that I drive over to get to my tax lot 300 and my adjacent tax lot 305, and that's all my property. And that's the road of Terrell Way, as it's called. After that first piece of property up front, it's owned by Thompson. Then it goes on to my property, and there is no other easement other than 800.
So tax lots 702, 707, 304
have nothing to do with, it does not touch our property, does not have anything to do with Terrell Way, other than we have easements on those properties that are touching at Walmart.
So you are the one that created this situation by having easements on other people's properties that justified it having multiple easements?
No. The engineer did that.
You don't have easements on other people's property to access your property?
No, Thompson.
Just because you have an easement doesn't mean that it's not an easement. Even if it's you that holds the easement, that still means there's an easement there. So you have an easement to get through Thompson's property to get to your property.
Yes.
So that's an easement, and you own more than one property,
yes.
Lots 300 and lots 305,
right.
Which meets the criteria of one or more lots.
Okay.
So there's an easement, on one end, and there's an easement on the other end, because you've already acknowledged there's one to 800, so that's two easements on this road, and it accesses more than one lot, your own 300 and 305.
Yes. Now, when you talk about Thompson's property, that's all that's lot 800 and 305. Those are the guys.
Okay. So there are more than one easement, and there's more than one lot.
Okay.
Just clarifying.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
But not three or four other people accessing along the way.
Correct.
It's your easement at the beginning and 800's easement at the end.
Correct.
And there's multiple lots because you yourself actually own more than one lot.
Correct.
Okay. Do you have any other questions here?
So in other words, clarify, there's no ingress and egress to those other lots. They're just easements that are there.
He's got ingress and egress
to his own
lots.
Yeah.
And that falls under definition because it's his ingress and egress.
Right. Falls under definition.
Via an easement.
Is the big kitchen to get along here that what is named out there, road, street, way, drive, or whatever it is, that that's his name wrong, or that it's not deeded to the county, so therefore?
County has nothing to do with this.
County has nothing to do with
right.
This. This still falls under ingress and egress for persons to one or more lots.
When you look at the template guidelines,
okay.
Template guidelines say a public road. I don't see, consider my private driveway.
That's the key right here. You don't consider your driveway a public road.
Yes.
But it does have easements. It has two easements, one for you to access it and one for 800 to get access off of it. So there's two easements, which make it a way. And even though it's not a public or private road, it falls under our definition of a public or private way because there's more than one easement on it.
Yeah, if you say so.
For ingress and egress to one or more lots.
Then you have to worry about the abutment, yes.
Okay.
I need clarification, I think, from legal counsel
legal, yes.
As to whether or not you can block access to lot 800.
I'm not trying to stop access today. I'm trying to.
He doesn't want a house built on it. He doesn't mind them having access to the property. He doesn't want a house built on it.
It does not meet the LUBA guidelines for a single law, for a template.
Do you have any more questions for this applicant?
Has that tax lot 800 been approved for a residence?
That's what's being appealed right now. The director approved it. The appellant is appealing the approval. Okay, do you have any other expert witnesses or others in favor of the appeal?
Thank you for
listening. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Are there any additional questions to staff or of staff related to what was just testified to?
No.
Okay.
Staff is offered the opportunity to clarify.
According to this, it looks like it's after staff or agent comments after both sides testify. If we have questions for you, that's different, but the comments from staff or agency appear to come after both sides' testimony, according to the order of procedure.
Okay. Jump in ahead because I didn't see any
position. Okay. Unless you have questions, and you don't have questions. Okay. I do have a question of staff. Your report references the consultant that did the surveying. Do you have any means of verifying what is surveyed, or is that put through the county surveyor for confirmation at any level?
North Shores County Planning. I want to be sure that I'm understanding what you're asking, Commissioner.
Let me reword it. Is it common practice to accept the consultant surveying, or is it ever verified through a second party?
We would do some verification, and we did in this case. However, the applicant's surveyor did not survey. He performed research in terms of uncovering these warranty deeds and other legal documents that supported their case that they are able to apply for a forest loan. However, hypothetically, if a survey was presented, we would seek independent review to ensure that it was done correctly, and that would typically be through Peter Allen. I would ask for his assistance to ensure he agreed with the surveying outcome.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
At this time, we're going to move to the opponents, which is the original applicant. And is there a representative available at this time to speak on behalf of the original applicant, which is listed as the opponent of the appeal?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm trying to flu right now. Justin County Board of Commissioners and Planning Staff. My name is Guy Steele. I am party to the proceeding for the subject forest dwelling approval cases. It's file case 38-08-23, tax law 800. I'm the original applicant and co-owner of Skeleton Resources. You already have in your file packet as exhibit D and J my rebuttal to the appellant's opposition testimony and my new evidence support of upholding staff's recommendation of approval. I will not go over great detail here. I want to stress a couple of points to rebut Mr. Stevens' arguments and argument supporting denial, referring to your file packet as Exhibit K. I would say that staff would never have approved my request if there wasn't substantial evidence in the file record to demonstrate compliance with the county code criteria in Article 65, and specifically 65.070.C4, which allows us to use a quarter mile, 1 mile by 1 mile template test area because the subject site abutted a road. If staff didn't think to roll away was a road, then they would have denied the request. I trust that staff knows their code well enough to determine what a road is. I'd also like to say that the railway did exist when we came there. It made it to there, and the reason the Google Earth photos show it more clearly later is to get our equipment and logging trucks in there. We widened the road, we redid the whole road, we rocked the road, we replaced culverts, and we made a driveway into our property off the road. That's the reason why it looks different in 2016 from the aerial, but it in fact was there existing because people used that road to get to their houses and residences. It is my opinion that the entire file record in this case contains ample evidence to demonstrate that all applicable relevant code criteria have been met. You can find to uphold staff's recommendation to approve this request and deny the appeal. Thank you for your time. That's all I will say at this point in time.
Do you have any questions?
No, I don't.
Okay. I do not have any questions for you at this time. Do you have any expert witnesses that you'd like to present?
No, I'm in this flip. Oh, Bruce, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. For the record, identify myself, Bruce Vincent, Bedwell Vincent Consulting, 416 Laurel Avenue, number 3, Tillamook, Oregon, 97141. My client, I feel, is good enough to give me the access to the number I've been listening in to the hearing. So I would just want to stress for the record, it's clear to me by the discussion that's gone on so far that it's all been established that we have, by any definition or manner or form, a right of public access. And a right of public access is legally defined both by state statute and by survey law. And the substantial evidence in the file record by the surveyor substantiates that very clearly. And I think the commissioners also understand that that's been clearly established. So if we, in fact, have right of public access, and by any manner or form of what you define it as, a road, then we've met the test. And that's just simply it.
Okay. Do you have any questions for the consultant?
No, not yet. Not now, no. I do not.
Okay. Are there, Bruce, I'm sorry, I did not catch your last name.
Last name Vincent, spelling V-I-N-T-E-N-T.
Okay. Yes, I saw your name on the other report. I just couldn't hear you.
I'm in the record, yes.
Okay, so is there any other testimony in opposition of the appeal at this time? Okay, is there any questions to staff based on this testimony?
What I'm seeing here is that they applied for a residence on tax lot 800. And the question for saying that that shouldn't go through is because there's not proper access to the property, but yet we've just proven that you can't deny access to tax lot 800. So, therefore, that can't stand in the way of issuing the permit for residents? Is that what I'm getting? I'm asking staff. Is the appeal to the residential portion of it because of access to the property? But yet we're saying there has to be access.
My understanding, Julie Schmalzer, Community Development Director, my understanding is that they're appealing it because they say it doesn't meet the template test, which they are saying says that it has to have access to a public road. And we are saying, and I'm just going to read the section that's in question. So the template test requires, if a tract abuts a road, doesn't say public road, road.
Or private, for that matter. Just
as a road. Prior to 1993, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, then you can grant the approval for the home. So.
And it met that criteria.
Yes, because we proved it had the easement leading out eventually to the public road. So, we also discussed or had the definition of abutting. I mean, it doesn't require it to be directly adjacent or onto a county or state maintained road. It just has to put a road, and a road includes an easement.
I have a clarifying, or do you have any other questions or comments from
the
staff?
No, you're going the way I was going to go anyway.
Okay.
I saw you looking that direction.
My question for legal is whether or not both parties have requested a continuance to submit further evidence. My understanding is it's up to the board to approve or deny that request. And looking at the order of procedures, at this point it opens for staff or agency comments. I don't know if you're done with that at this time.
Nora does have some comments in response to some of the things, to clarify some of the things that were said.
Okay, so I will let you continue with that, but I'll let you mull on my question so you'll be ready to answer. Because it says at this time, if requested, keep records open for additional written evidence, rebuttal, or sub-rebuttal. So I'm just having a clarification of order procedure of where we're going to go next. But I want staff to be able to finish staff and agency comments at this time.
Schwartz County Planning. I think we've been over numerous times. From a planning perspective, at least in part, what this hinges on, and the question is, what's a road? We use the definition that is in our code, which is available to you on the 5 PowerPoint slides. It was the definitions page. I also provided you the legal definition of way, and I believe at this point there doesn't seem to be any question as to what type of path, to now introduce yet another term, we are talking about on the ground. The only other thing I wanted to point out is, because we were talking about, or Mr. Terrell was talking about He thinks of Terrell Way as his driveway. We have a definition of driveway in the code. A way of access for a vehicle to serve a limited number of users from a road or street, which is usually narrow in width and often in private ownership or subject to restricted public use. I think what all of this has demonstrated this morning is that the pathway or conglomeration of pathways from point A to point B, tax lot 800, serves more than one parcel. It meets the definition of the code, and that, in my mind, the rectangular template test was properly employed. I have nothing further.
Could you repeat the driveway thing again if I write that down?
Sure. Definition of driveway from Article 11 of the Rural Land Development Code says a way of access for a vehicle to serve a limited number of users from a road or street, usually of narrow width, often in private ownership, or subject to restricted public use.
I guess my clarification would be, giving that definition, what's the staff comment on it being referred to as private driveway?
I would disagree that it is a private driveway. I believe that it is the appellant's perception of what it is. I would also like to point out that in using the rectangular template test, as well as meeting the other criteria required in the code to approve this forest dwelling, the definition of or legitimacy of the term driveway does not appear. Therefore, I didn't address it.
Is there a point in time, I'm going to go back to when they logged this, for Pete's sake, that wasn't, it's narrow in width and so on and so forth, and access to serve a limited number of users. When they logged that, for Pete's sake, that there was a lot of activity on that road. Does that say it's no longer a driveway because of the way it was used for commercial hauling?
I think that's a legal question.
So the question, that's what we're defining today.
Right.
Because they were allowed to log it, traverse the area to access their property as their easement allowed.
As the easement allowed. And
but now that a house is going on, it's now defined as a driveway with no access. But it was allowed to be logged and used for all the logging.
Well, it's now defined as a driveway, and they're not denying access, but they're using the access point to...
Okay, so let's go back to definitions. A way of access. Now, here's the definition of a way. Here's the definition of a road. We have to get back to there's multiple parcels.
Yeah.
We have to get back to there's more than one easement. Even if it is the appellant, it still counts as an easement. So does it meet the definition of a road and a way? And that's really what you're coming down to. If it meets those definitions, then it meets the requirement of the rectangular. If it abuts to that, what they're saying. So is there anything further from staff or any questions from Commissioner Neal?
No, I don't think so. I think we've covered it all.
I have nothing further.
Okay, so now my question goes back to legal counsel.
Yeah. Well, he takes legal counsel, so I have a little good news. This is the easiest decision that we have to make during the course of this hearing. So the code does prescribe that if a participant requests an extension of 7 days, the board shall grant. And so there's a shall provision in code in 20.
So a question at this time. Do we therefore continue the hearing at this time because both parties have requested it and not proceed through anything further into the hearing? Because it's specifically listed under staff or agency comments, there's a subsection of sorts, not with a letter or anything, but the next line says, if requested, keep the record open.
That seems appropriate to me, but I would invite participants to object to this on the behalf.
So both parties have requested a continuance?
Yes, that's my understanding of the record. Of course, we've had, I think, a verbal request even this morning, and then prior to that, the applicant had requested to the planning office an extension. But not being the applicant's spokesman, this is an opportunity to clarify that.
Mr. Steele, or also
yeah.
Mr. Vincent, just to clarify, your party does wish to ask for a continuance?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is it continuance
keep
it or leave the record open?
Is it leave the record open or a continuance?
I leave the record open. Sorry.
Okay, so you're requesting a leave the record open, and to clarify, the appellant has asked for a continuance to leave the record open. So both the same thing or something different? To clarify.
I think we just wanted to submit materials. We just didn't have time because we only got Tuesday afternoon was when we got the appellant's arguments.
So you've requested to keep the record open to submit additional, and now I'm clarifying with the appellant what they were requesting, because the wording that was used was a continuance. But then you said open record, so
right.
Can you clarify what you're asking?
We were in agreement to go either way. It was if the commissioners desire to ask questions of the appellant or the applicant or of staff, that needs to be on the record. So then that, at that point, would have to continue to a next public hearing. However, we are in agreement to just leave the written record open and submit written testimony, and then that'll be just for your own consideration at that point in time. So we're happy with strictly leaving the written record open and closing the public hearing for the next 7 days.
Okay.
Does either one of those restrict what you want to do? I mean, are both the same?
They're just simply able to submit something in writing. We're going to receive it by writing. We're not going to have any time to ask questions on it. We're simply going to receive it. We come back, the applicants can rebuttal, the opponents can sub-rebuttal. We're basically going to stop the hearing at this point and continue it after the written testimony is received. Is that correct? Go ahead. I just want to make sure that procedurally we're going through this process right. I understand both parties want to keep the record open so they could submit written testimony, but if they're trying to acknowledge, if we want to ask questions, we actually have to continue the hearing, not just keep the record open. So if you're done with your questions.
I'm going to assume I'd like to leave it open to where if the new information comes through and I have a question about it, I'd like to be able to ask that. So
then that would be you requesting a continuance.
Okay. I would like to request a continuance to leave that option open.
I will second that. Wait, do we have to vote on it first? Go ahead, staff comment before I acknowledge.
I just want to make sure everybody understands the options here, and it is one, you continue the hearing, or two, you leave the record open. There's a difference. When you leave the record open, there's a lengthy process that's involved of people being allowed, they submit a test or written documentation, it can then be reviewed and rebutted back and going back and forth with the written testimony. And then eventually get to the point where you need a summation, a discussion, and then close the hearing. The other way is continuance hearing, which is for at least 7 days to a date, time, and certain. The hearing body shall allow persons to present and rebut new evidence and testimony at the continued hearing. If new written evidence is submitted at the continued hearing, any person may request to be left open 7 days again. Submit additional written evidence or testimony in response to the new written evidence. So you get one or the other. The continuance hearing says we're going to, at least 7 days out, we're going to continue this hearing and we're going to review anything new that comes in. Or the other process, which is to leave the record open where people can submit and then they get more time to review that, and this goes on.
And that's what both parties have asked for.
That's what both parties have asked for, and I do want to warn you, there are timelines on that that all has to occur within a certain period of the original application. So we're still fine where they could submit written testimony, but then if somebody rebuts that and wants to submit new written testimony, they're going to start piling up and getting really close to the deadline where nothing else can happen, just so you understand the difference between the two. And because it wasn't requested, you have to grant one of the other.
And what has been requested by both parties is keeping the record open. So that tells us we shall keep the record open.
It's your choice which way you want to do it, but that is what they have requested.
My preference would be to go with what both parties have requested.
I'll second that.
Okay. So at this time, we are going to keep the record open. The timelines will be, is that given by your staff so both parties know what their timelines are? And then at the point that that deadline is reached, we will come back to continue the hearing. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So,
no.
Not to continue the hearing, to continue the process. So maybe legal, you should. I just want to make sure we're doing this exactly as we're supposed to.
Okay, so the final action that you will take is the presiding officer shall close the public hearing when certain that all of the testimony has been heard and all questions have been answered. If there should be a need to discuss the proposal with any person who is not a member of the hearing body, the presiding officer shall reopen the public hearing for that purpose. Upon satisfaction of the situation and opportunity for comment and or rebuttal by the proponent, the opponent's staff, the presiding officer shall again close the public hearing. So there is a final step in that for the public hearing.
Okay. What wording do I need to use today to make sure that we're within procedural guidelines? We're going to keep the record open.
Correct. So you are going to, I got to find it in here again. You're going to close the hearing and leave the record open.
Okay.
For 7 days.
Do I need a motion to that?
Yes.
Okay.
I make a motion that we close the hearing but keep the record open. For 7 days.
And I will second that. And we need a vote. So will you call the roll?
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes. So at this time, the hearing will be closed with the record remaining open for 7 days. And the time is 10:57. We'll be hanging up at this time. Thank you.